speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, an attitude can go a long way. A positive or even a negative attitude. And God identifies for us continually in the Old and especially in the New Testament Scripture for the Christian that we must have a positive and productive attitude. A positive and productive attitude is essential for life. It is important for a husband and wife, and in fact for all who comprise or make up the home, to have a positive attitude. Why? Because it makes the home life easier, and it also helps to edify those who are dwelling in the home. It also goes a long way with children who are going to school. The educators need to have a positive attitude in regard to their job and in their dealings with the children, and in like figure, children do well to have a positive attitude about those who are teaching them and all who work within the administration. Why? Because it presents a good work environment, but in like figure, it goes a long way in helping to produce citizens, productive citizens in life. Even in the business world, we find is that it is important to have a positive attitude, and when that attitude is positive, then there's going to be greater production in and for the business. God identifies for us is that we must have a very positive attitude, and that attitude will help us to be productive in His kingdom, in the Lord's church, and in His Word. You know, when we think in regard to our words and gestures, they are extremely important. We oftentimes will tease about the way that a wife might look to her husband and give him that evil eye, or the way that parents are able to look to their children and the child might be acting up and the children will straighten up just based out of the look that mom or dad has been able to cast upon them. That's not only true when we think in regard to the way in which husbands and wives or the way that we deal with our children, that's true also when it comes to our lives. We've got to be very careful the way in which we look at people when we're looking at them or especially whenever we're speaking to them. Not only the way in which we look to people, but the words that we use. We've got to be very careful as to what we say. We don't want to be hurtful in what we say, but rather we always ought to aspire to be helpful. And then also we've got to understand that we must realize when we are going to speak, when we need to speak. Timing is indeed everything. And the Bible tells us that we are to be slow to anger and slow to speak, but quick to listen. And we need to do a lot of listening. James chapter 1 and verse 19. But then when we speak, when we say things, we also need to understand that it's important how we say things. We need to say things from a sincere standpoint, with conviction, but also we need to approach things, the words that we present, seasoned with love, seasoned with salt, the Bible would identify from time to time. Everything that we say is heard by God. And therefore, because everything that we say is heard by God, God will take all of our words, all of our deeds also, but all of our words into judgment. He listens to everything that we say. What is it that God is listening for? Friends, I believe that He's listening for content to begin with. He wants to make sure that the things that we are saying, that they are indeed in harmony with godliness. That the things that we are not, the things that we are saying, that they're not in line with the unfruitful things that we find in the world, that they're not in line with the sin that we find in the world, but rather that we are seeking to speak in a way that would glorify our God. But not only is He listening for content, I believe He's also listening for context. And in that, what I mean is that He's listening as to why we say what we say, and then also He's listening as to how we say what we say. So not only do we need to be aware of these things for the reason that we're speaking to others, but as God is listening to us, we need to understand that our words will indeed be taken into consideration in the day of judgment. Additionally, people are impacted by our expressions. Our words can encourage people. We can say things in words. We can say things also in a way that would build people up. And as Christians, we ought to aspire to do that. But also, you and I know that we can say things that would destroy some people. And sometimes we might say things that in a vicious way that would do that. But also, we might say things even in an act of innocence, not thinking, that still would have that same destructive effect. We can either open doors for God or we can close doors with the things that we say and also the way that we say things. As Christians, we've got to be very careful in speaking. And then also, though, God wants us to understand that as Christians, we ought to express gratitude. It's said that the three greatest words in the English language, in fact, I believe that you could take this all the way across the board and no matter what language we're dealing with, the three greatest words are, I love you. And we need to be people who express our love towards God, and we express our love towards our family, and we express our love towards one another and for even lost souls. The two greatest words are said to be thank you. But you know, they say that it is a lost expression. And friends, the reason that is a lost expression is not because it's fallen off the site in regard to the dictionary, but rather it's a lost expression because fewer people today are using the words I thank you or thank you in their conversation. We as Christians have every reason to be grateful. And then also we have multiple examples in and throughout the Scriptures of those who have expressed gratitude. As God has blessed them, they've expressed gratitude towards God. As they have been recipients of blessings based out of their relationship with other individuals, they also then serve as an example of how that they have expressed their gratitude towards these individuals. God expects us to express gratitude. Why? Friends, above all, because He commands His children that we must be thankful people and that we must be expressing this continually in our lives. From the book of Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, we see that gratitude involves personal examination. From the words here that is presented in the first two verses with the psalmist, it is as if he's looking inwardly to himself. And as he looks inward to himself, he realizes that there is something great missing in his life. And what is that that is missing in his life? Friends, it is the fact that he has not been grateful enough to God for the blessings that God has bestowed upon him in his life. And for that reason, then, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. It ends in his concluding that I've not blessed God enough. I've not been thankful to God for all of the ways in which He blesses me. And as a result of that, then, he begins to bless God for the wonderful ways in which God has worked in his life. And you and I are told that we need to examine ourselves. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 tells us that we are to examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith. And that deals with our relationship with God. And in part that means that we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are living as God would have us to live. But as we think about expressing gratitude, as we examine ourselves to whether we're living right with God, we also need to make sure that we are speaking in a way that would glorify God. And then as we are speaking, even to God, that we are expressing gratitude to the level that God expects us to on an ongoing, daily basis. But not only as we would express gratitude towards God, but we would express gratitude towards our brothers and sisters in Christ and to anyone who serves as a blessing in our lives. The psalmist goes on to identify here in this immediate context is that gratitude also involves counting your blessings. He identifies six specific ways in which God has blessed him that I believe he's known all along, but friends, he begins to explore them in greater ways, I think, personally now that he understands that he's not expressed true gratitude on an ongoing basis to God. What are these six ways in which he understands the blessings that God bestows upon him? The forgiveness that God extends. God alone is able to forgive. The world might say that they will forgive us, but yet at the same time, the world tends to hold grudges and the world tends to bring things back up at its convenience. But God, whenever He forgives, the Bible identifies to us is that He no longer mentions that. He no longer holds those things against us. And He also goes on to identify in this that God has blessed him through healing. And God is able to heal us physically. But in this context, I believe that it speaks more in context to the idea of healing spiritually. And certainly David would have understood this, is that as he had walked away from God and God forgave him, is that there's this healing process that has taken place. He also speaks in regard to the redemption. God being able to redeem, and God had redeemed him. And friends, God also offers each and every one of us redemption. And that redemption is brought forth through Jesus Christ our Lord and the shedding of His blood at Calvary's cross. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us that we are redeemed through the blood of Christ. And certainly you and I know today is that it is conjoined with our obedience. The psalmist goes on to identify a blessing that God has bestowed upon him and upon, in fact, all of humanity is that He crowns those who are His. And I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in regard to his life and commitment to God. He says that there is a crown that is reserved for him, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And not only for him, but unto all those who love the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The psalmist then, in the fifth place, goes on to say is that it's only God who satisfies. People live their life trying to seek after satisfaction in this world, and they're able to find those things that will bring temporary pleasure as well as a temporal satisfaction. But in reality, for those who really understand what life is all about, that it's about serving God, we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it's only in God and through Christ that we're able to be filled, to be satisfied. And then he goes on to identify that God blesses him through renewing him as a new person. And friends, I'm reminded of the renewing process that God bestows upon us, blesses us with in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gratitude involves counting our blessings. And so many of us fail to do that each and every day of our life. Let's never forget the blessings that God bestows upon us. The psalmist goes on in Psalm 103, verses 6 and following, to say that gratitude involves a universal goodness. Sometimes in the church we will say that God is good, and He is. And we will look and focus upon the fact that God is good to us as Christians. And certainly we are in a special place with God. We are in a relationship with God. We are His children, and He is our Heavenly Father. But you and I know, if we are true to what the Scripture says, is that God's not only good to us. Friends, God is good to every single person who lives. When it comes to His mercy and grace, and the psalmist mentions the mercy and the graciousness of God, He not only bestows or offers that to you and me, He extends that to everyone. Now, certainly, people must be receptive of that in order to receive His mercy and grace. But God opens His mercy and grace to everyone. And He goes on to identify how that God is slow to anger. And aren't we all grateful for this? Knowing that God does not, in a wrathful way, whenever we mess up, whenever we do things that is a violation of His law, that He breathes fire, His fiery wrath upon us and destroy us or consume us. God is indeed slow to anger. Why? Because He's long-suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. All would come in line with His will and live faithful before Him. but also in this immediate context we understand is that God extends His universal goodness in a way that He does not hold grudges. And I'm so grateful also to the fact that God does not hold grudges. When God forgets, or when God forgives, the Scripture says that He forgets. And that does not mean that God is absent-minded. We are absent-minded from time to time. But God certainly has the ability to know all things and to retain all things. But it means that He does not hold us accountable for the things of the past. He's not going to bring those things up to us when we stand before Him. If we strive each day to live faithful in His sight, in and through Jesus Christ, His goodness is there for us as Christians, but God's goodness is also universal in the fact that He extends this unto everyone. Everyone who would come unto obedience through Christ. The psalmist then identifies is that gratitude involves understanding God's mercy. In the context here, he says that His mercy extends from the east, from as far east to as far to the west. You can't go any further than that. His mercy is so amazing. And His mercy, if you look in the context as to the way in which it is spelled out, if you would, in Scripture, defined time and time again, is that mercy means that we do not get what we deserve. We get what we don't deserve. We're deserving of death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But because of God's love, loving kindness, the psalmist says, and because of God's desire for man to dwell eternally with Him, He extends that mercy to us. And the psalmist would have understood that because of the way in which God worked with him in his life. And as Christians, we can certainly relate to the same level. Knowing that we are no good, if you would. Knowing that we fall short on a continual basis. That there's no way that we can live perfect before God. But still God, in His mercy, as far from the east to the west, is there to forgive us without end. A beautiful picture that God says in regard to how we need to consider being grateful for all the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. Unto whom then should we express gratitude? I believe that we need to express gratitude towards our families. Our families are very deserving of hearing the words, thank you, or I appreciate you for everything that you have done in life. And when do we usually express our appreciation? Sometimes we will do that around the holidays. We will give gifts during Christmas time and understand there's nothing at all wrong with giving gifts and saying, I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for everything that you've done. But we need to do it more than around Christmas time. Also, Thanksgiving. We think about that holiday, national holiday that we celebrate and we're thankful to God during that time of the year, but also, we might say that we're grateful for our family and express it. Friends, that certainly is a time that we can and we should, we must express our thanksgiving, but it must go beyond that when we're dealing with our families. A husband and wife might and they should tell each other how much they love and appreciate each other at the time of their anniversary. Today, we honored those who were celebrating an anniversary in the month of May, and in that, I trust that you're going to celebrate with each other as a husband and wife and you're going to express your love, but yet at the same time, one time a year is not going to get it. Amen? We've got to have an ongoing, or maybe at birthdays, time and time again, we need to and should express, but God wants us to express on a daily basis. Why? Because it's needed and it will go a long way in helping our families to be the type of families that God expects. But also, when it comes to employers and employee relationships, I believe that all of those individuals need an attaboy. They are very deserving of being told, I appreciate what it is that you do, or I thank you for your hard work and commitment to the company, or even for the employee to go to the employer and to say, thank you for hiring me. Thank you for giving me a chance. Thank you for providing this opportunity for me to provide for my family. Not only is it deserving between the employer and the employee relationship, friends, it is also needed. And whenever we express our gratitude for one another within the work environment, it will help to build relationships. And certainly we need good relationships within our workplaces. Why? Because it makes for a better environment all the way around. But then in like figure, it will also help to produce greater production and greater pay as a result of those things. We need to express gratitude in the workplace on both ends. But then as Christians, we should also express gratitude towards the world. Why? When we're dealing with people in the world. Why? Because the world is looking at us. The world has eyes and ears constantly upon us. They're watching us to see if we're living like we ought to live as Christians. And they should look at us. They should observe us. Why? Because God says that we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And the world looks to us, and we need to present ourselves. We need to live. We need to walk in a Christ-like manner so that they will be able to see Christ living in us. But not only in the steps that we take, friends, also when it comes to the words that we speak. And the world needs to hear us express our appreciation to God, our appreciation towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, our appreciation towards our employers or our employees, and even our appreciation towards them. We have some good people who live in our neighborhood who do some great things from time to time for one another and even for us, and we try to reciprocate. And as a result of that, we're saying thank you for the things that you have said or done, and in like figure, they do the same. And the world listens and they see what it is that we are not only claiming to be, but friends, whether or not we're truly living up to the Christ-like example that God expects us to demonstrate in our life. The bottom line is this. Christians ought to express thanksgiving to everyone that we come in contact with. But especially, if you would, I want us to understand that we need to be thankful to God. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, that we are to always give thanks unto the Father, unto our Heavenly Father. Why? Because God is actively involved in not only the creation, but friends, God is actively involved, connected to our lives, working to bring about good, blessings, amazing things. And He wants us to understand the source of all the blessings that we have, and then to turn to Him on a continual basis in prayer, and extol Him, but also to praise Him, to thank Him for the blessings that we have in our life. The greatest blessing that we are able to acquire is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. It may be that we have some here tonight who are not New Testament Christians. They've never submitted themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And if you're here tonight and you want to be baptized, you desire to have your sins washed away, we will assist you as you would make that great confession to be buried with Christ in baptism. We may have others tonight here also who need to be restored and also who have that desire. As we began this with our service, praying for Vernon, we will also pray for you tonight that you can be restored back into a faithful relationship with God if that is your desire. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation with any way, please come.